God himself, the
Lamb. Let's read together from Genesis 13, verses 6 through 11. Genesis 13, verses 6 through 11. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the left, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other." In Genesis 12, and in this chapter as well, the focus of the narrative is on the land promise that God made to Abram. What we learned in the last chapter is that when Abram left the land God had promised him and went to Egypt, disaster ensued. But just because Abram was in the place where he was supposed to be did not mean that his life would be free from trouble and hardship. Let's learn more about Abram and Lot right after this.
God will provide himself a lamb, the only sacrifice that sin demands, just as he proved to Abraham he would provide himself a lamb. Behold the Lamb, God himself the Lamb.
Genesis 13 opens with Abram returning back to the promised land after going down to Egypt because of the famine. And the Bible tells us at the end of Genesis 12 that when he left Egypt, he came out with great possessions. And so that sets up the conflict or the crisis point of Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13:2 says, "Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold." And the Bible doesn't tell us that wealth necessarily became a great stumbling block for Abram, as it does for so many. You remember the Lord's famous saying about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. We know that wealth is a great source of sorrow and apostasy of many. The Apostle Paul talked about how the love of money had ruined the faith of many a Christian. But even though Abram did not stray from his personal faith to the Lord because of money, it was still a problem for him, and it brought a crisis in the family. It says in verse 3 that he went back to those places where he had been when he first entered the land. We see the mention of Bethel and Ai. And in verse 4, he went to the place of the altar, which he had made at the first. So he's back in the place where God wanted him to be, which is why we have the commentary in verse 4. There, Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, verse 5, was with him. He had flocks and herds and tents. Now at this time, the families, the households, and particularly the livestock of these two men had grown so large that there was no single area of grazing land that could satisfy the needs of all of their animals. So you can imagine that Abram's underlings and Lot's underlings started to squabble over who would get the best pasture land, who would have the best territory for grazing. And this conflict eventually went up the chain of command all the way to Abram and Lot. Now, Abram shows why he was a friend of God in this whole episode. He is a magnanimous, generous man. You remember that the reason Lot is with him is because Lot's father had died back in Ur, And Abram took his nephew under his wing and brought him with him to the land of Canaan. And again, Abram shows a kindness to his nephew. He points out the fact that the land is vast. There's no need for fighting. There's no need for strife. There's plenty of territory to satisfy the demands of all of our livestock. And he lets his young nephew decide where he wants to take his herd. Abram says, if you go this direction, I'll go this direction. If you want to go over here, I'll go over here. I am content with either. You decide. So the Bible tells us now what was motivating Lot's decision. Look at these words again in Genesis 13 and verse 10. Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. It says it reminded him of the garden of the Lord. He had heard from his uncle about all the stories of the beautiful Garden of Eden that God created in the beginning. But also, it reminded him of the land of Egypt. You can imagine that for a nomad like Lot, going to a place like ancient Egypt with all of its grandeur and wealth, by this time, which is circa 2000 BC, the great pyramids of the Old Kingdom had already been constructed. The Nile River was famous for its ability to irrigate the otherwise desolate desert of Egypt. You can imagine what an impression this would have left on Lot's young mind. He couldn't get it out of his head. He was fixated on the beauty of Egypt. And so he chose a land that most reminded him of the time they had in Egypt. Listen to Dr. James Smith in his commentary on this event. Quote, Lot chose for himself the best part of the land, the Jordan Valley. Before the Lord destroyed the cities of the plain, this region was lush and fertile. To Lot, it looked like the proverbial Garden of Eden, like the rich Nile Delta in Egypt. Lot's choice reveals much about his character. His choice reveals his pride, for the younger should have submitted to the elder. It reveals his worldliness, for what mattered to him was the region that was like the land of Egypt. It revealed his selfishness. He took the best for himself. It revealed his unbelief, for he walked by sight and not by faith when he lifted up his eyes, and revealed his recklessness, for he pitched his tents near Sodom in spite of the notorious reputation of that place. Lot, after this chapter and the next, will sort of disappear from the Abrahamic narrative for a while. And when we find him again later in chapter 19, it reveals to us that not only did Lot go towards Sodom, but eventually ended up as a resident and indeed as a chief man of that sinful city. So this separation is a tragic event, even though Abram and Lot don't really know it at this point, because it shows Lot's mindset. He was not motivated by fidelity to God as his uncle was. In verse 12, we return to Abram, who dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Verse 14, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. This is a wonderful reaffirmation of the covenant. In fact, this is one of many occasions where God will appear to Abram and later to his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob to remind them of the great, overwhelmingly beautiful promises God had made. God does not forget his great promises. And so he comes to reaffirm, yes, indeed, Abram, all of this land, as far as you can see, in every direction will belong to you, and not just you, but your descendants. Remember, Genesis 11:30, Sarai was barren. They had no children. But again, a reminder to Abram that he will have descendants. Let's finish the rest of the chapter, verses 16 to 18. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Most of this chapter and the previous focus on the land. Abram explores the land. He encounters the Canaanites in the land. He departs from the land to go to Egypt. He returns back to the land where he belonged all along. He has conflict with his nephew in the land. They separate from one another to different parts of the land. The land is the key focus until the end of the chapter, when God reminds Abram, it's not just dirt. It's not just grass. It's not just fields and rivers that I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give you enough descendants to fill it, to fill this good land. If a man could number the sand of the sea, then a man could number your descendants. What a powerful statement from the Lord God of heaven and earth. Remember the promises of God, for he surely never forgets them.
Although Abraham could not understand how God in his great love could ask him for the only son he had, yet when it seemed to him all hope was dim, his faith, this promise